Randy Heckman is a former trial judge and Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate position here in the state of Michigan. He wants to be able to run against Debbie Stabenow. He's also authored a new book called Truth That Sets America Free. We wanted to talk to Randy about that new book, and he's on the other end of our line. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Tony, I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. Tell us about the book. Where'd you get the idea? How long have you been working on it?
Well, actually, I started writing this a number of years ago and kind of put it aside. And then as I'm running for Senate, starting to communicate ideas to people across the state, I thought, boy, having a book could be helpful to get out and help communicate the message. So we've been working on it on and off for a number of years, but quite a few hours put into it in the last month or two.
You know, Randy, it's funny you mention that because most candidates, when they write a book during an election run, won't tell you that, but you're honest enough to come right out and say it'll help me get me to where I need to be.
Well, what can I do? I just got to say, shoot the truth, and because that's really what the book's about. Truth sets us free. Truth liberates. Truth gives life, whereas lies are just the opposite. Lies end up enslaving and bring ultimately death. And that's what it's about. America was built on some truthful concepts, and that's why we grew from this puny nation 200 plus years ago to being the strongest, most rich and powerful nation in the history of the world.
Tell me about some of the most important truthful concepts in your book.
Basically, it's understanding that the strength of a nation does not flow down from its government. It flows up from free people created in the image of God, exercising that freedom to create wealth and jobs and literature and art and music and all the good things that we enjoy. But understanding, too, that we're also flawed as human beings. We have incredible greatness because we're created in the image of God, but we're also sinful, as Scripture would indicate, that we have a tendency to be selfish, and that needs to be controlled. So we set up in our government, you know, the separation of powers, checks and balances, limited government. We have the federalist system that, you know, we have power with the states and power with the central government. Because we know that power, you know, tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So we understand that humans are incredibly gifted and able to do incredible things, but also flawed. And we set that into our system, and it works. Unfortunately, in our present day, we've lost track of much of that, and we think that somehow America gets strong because of what its government does, and we're taking freedom away from people. As a result, our nation is really languishing, and we need to turn that around.
What do you tell people who aren't faith-based?
Who are not faith-based?
Yes.
I'd say, look, you may disagree with me, and that's fine. We are still friends. But let's just be pragmatists. Let's just look at what did work in America. And as they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Let's continue, or let's get back on that track, and let's build it. We may agree or disagree as to, you know, some of these concepts, but it worked, and we want it to work again for the sake of our children and our grandchildren.
So, in essence, people who have goodwill, who may not be Christians or follow any religion, can still work alongside other people,
absolutely,
including Christians. Absolutely.
We're Americans. We're one nation. We're not many. We need to be one nation. As our pledge says, one nation under God, indivisible, and the result is liberty and justice for every one of us.
I can remember one of the first conversations you and I had when you decided to run was talking about the government's role in charity-type functions.
Sure.
We recently had Judy Putnam from the Michigan League of Human Services on, and she believes, her organization believes, that it's government's role to assist the poor, to assist children who can't help themselves.
Yeah.
You believe that the church and other nonprofit entities should take a bigger role, if not the whole role, when it comes to dealing with issues like this.
Yeah, that's really true. I mean, you know, we started this war on poverty in the 1960s, and again, the theory was that the reason people are poor is very simply they just don't have enough money, and about $10 billion a year, it was figured, would be all that would be needed to move poor people up to not being poor anymore. Well, now we're spending close to $1 trillion a year. We have more poor in America than ever before, and about the same percentage as when we started this war on poverty. The reality is that government's just not good at helping people move from poverty to independence, which really needs to be the goal. It has an ability to, you know, it's a social universalism would be really what our government does. It just indiscriminately gives benefits to people, even people that could be helping themselves, and that's in the long run, that's not loving. The loving thing is to mentor people, encourage them, sometimes goad them to get off their backside and get moving. And once they do, and then they realize that they can do something, they grow. Every man I know really wants to support his family, but if we make it easy for people to live off somebody else's dollars, we have a tendency to do that. Again, that's what our framers understood, is that we have that tendency to be self-serving, and we need to fight that. And government's just not good at it, but charities and churches and neighbors and extended families are.
When I talk to people who disagree with your view, and many of those are Democrats, many of those are members of unions, they're not buying that. They're buying that's one of the reasons they pay taxes. That's one of the reasons that they work, that the government's role is to help those who can't help themselves.
Well, you see, we're closed. I mean, I totally agree that we, as individuals, have an obligation to help the poor. That's our privilege. I get a blessing when I help those in need, and my wife and I enjoy that. But I want to really help them. You know, Star Parker is a columnist. She grew up in the welfare system, and she says, she calls it the plantation. And it we need the people who are now, you know, in the inner cities. We need their help. We need their creativity. We need all that they can give. But it's wrong. It's demeaning to just permanently keep people enslaved, really, in that situation. So I totally agree with the sentiment that we need to help people, but the way we need to help them is not through government, because government is just the wrong mechanism. It can't properly discriminate between the worthy poor and the unworthy poor, the ones that truly are in need and can't help themselves, and the others who need encouragement to get out of that situation, to be empowered. We want to empower people.
Well, Randy, that's an interesting subject to talk about. I'm someone who comes from a single parent home. I can remember having some very hard times with my mom, sure, living in a car. I can remember us getting food stamps and getting public assistance, but that was just until my mom found a job and we were able to get along. And we needed that. And without the government's role, and I don't know if the church would have been able to help us, but what I do know is there is a cultural challenge with a lot of people who are stuck in a rut for whatever reason to using these services for generations, if you will. And you know who pays for it, whether the parents are lazy or not, or whether they just can't get it done. Who pays for it is the kids.
No, that's absolutely true, Tony. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And again, we're talking about momentous change, but it's not that government creates money. The money is there, but it needs to be channeled in ways. I mean, there's some neat programs around the state. Grace Centers of Hope down in Pontiac, no government money. They have moved scores of men and women who are addicted to drugs to get them off these drugs, and now they're homeowners, and it's just amazing what can be done. Is it easy? No. But we can't continue to go the direction we're going. I mean, we have spent $16 trillion in this war on poverty, and what is our national debt today? It's about $16 trillion. We can't afford it, for one, and then we're hurting the people we claim we want to help, for two. So it's going to take much more than what government can do. It's going to take each one of us, each citizen in America is going to be involved in bringing healing to our country.
Well, we've
and it's huge, we've got to do it.
We've got two more questions for Randy Heckman, who is running for United States Senator. He also is the author of a new book called Truth That Sets America Free. If you were elected to the Senate, would you be in favor of increasing the minimum wage, the living wage? Because a lot of folks have a challenge with just being able to work. For example, if you're making minimum wage and you've got kids that are in daycare and you're trying to pay rent and pay gas and all that, it's impossible.
Yeah, no, I agree, but you know, it's this is one of these counterintuitive things, Tony, is you raise the minimum wage and you just put a bunch of more urban kids particularly unable to get work, and it defeats the ability of businesses to be able to add to their employment roles. And so I mean, the real thing, we need to grow the economy is what we need to do. And you know, if you wanted to kill an economy, it would be harder to do more than what our central government has done, frankly. As far as regulations, that's the biggest problem in our tax system and so on. It's hurting our economy in a huge way. We're making it very difficult for businesses to expand.
All right, so Randy, what would you do then to help those people who are making minimum wage make ends meet?
Yeah, again, we need to get every American saying, I will do what I can to help my fellow Americans through the tough times. And that's where charities have to come in. And that's where actually there's a great thing called social enterprise that has actually been pioneered here in West Michigan through a business, Fred Keller, and his business, Cascade Engineering. He's moved 400 people from welfare to sustainable work in his business over the last 8 years, and 63% are still off welfare. And again, we don't have time at this moment, but it's just a wonderful system that's been developed that works with the employer, it works with the people that need to be prepared to get to work, and it follows them for a whole year as they make that transition. And it can be done. This thing can be replicated, not just in West Michigan, but needs to be replicated across the country. So there are programs. These are not governmental programs. These are private programs. But it requires business leaders to say, look, I want to be part of the solution. I want to be part of healing this country instead of just selfishly. I mean, the selfishness does not just exist among the poor. It exists among all of us. And so we need a change of heart, Tony, and that can't come from government. That's going to come from in my opinion, God is the one that changes hearts.
All right, right. I know that neither one of us have time to really get into this, but I disagree with you. As someone who was on public assistance before, I don't have time to wait for businesses to get a program started for 6 months, 2 years, whatever. When I'm sleeping in the car with my mom, I need help immediately. And if I go to get a job and I'm making $7 an hour and I got kids to put in daycare, that doesn't work for me in the short term.
Yeah, but you raise that to, raise that to $8 an hour. It's not going to make any difference. You're still going to need help. That's not going to get you out of that car. We need churches. We got a lot of churches in Michigan. And we've got a lot of people with a lot of dollars that care, but it needs to be channeled. We need people who can champion new programs like the one I mentioned in Pontiac. And they're all over our state. But basically, folks in churches these days have said, look, it's not my job to help people anymore. If people want to find God, let them find their way into my church. I'm just going to go to my cottage for the weekend or whatever. We need people that say, look, my fellow Americans are my problem. I need to help. And see, that's really what I call for in my book. And I'm talking major change that we need to make. It's going to impact every one of us to be able to give sacrificially to our neighbors, not just pay our taxes. That's a cop-out. I mean, give up my time. My time is more precious than my dollars. It's easy for me to just throw dollars at things. I'm talking about CEOs of companies mentoring teenage kids like you. You know, when you were growing up, to have somebody come from the suburbs and say, look, Tony, I want to help you. That's the sort of change we need in this country. It's not just more government. Government that can't solve this problem. It's got to be solved by people, people that love other people.
All right, Randy, I know you've got to go. I've got one more question for you. There's a lot of folks out there saying, Randy, you're a great guy, you're a smart guy, you got a great family, you got some great ideas, but Pete Hoekstra's killing you. He's got a lot more money in his coffers and a lot more support. Why aren't you giving up this fight?
Well, I'm going to shoot straight with you. I feel God got me into this thing, and he's going to be the one to get me out of it. I mean, I talked to my friend Pete Hoekstra back in December of 2010 when I started to feel the leading to move in this direction. And Pete said he was not going to run and that he would help me. And he told the rest of the world in April of 2011 he was not running. Well, and he changed his mind. And when he did, my wife and I, I'm shooting straight. We prayed about it and said, should we get out of this thing? And I have a strong sense that we're to be in it. And again, whether we win or not, I guess is not the biggest issue. The biggest issue is we got to bring healing to our country. And that's why I'm in it. And running for this thing, we'll see how it is. People, no votes have been cast yet. And we got this book coming out. We're going to keep talking to people. We put 40,000 miles on our car in the last year. We've talked to tens of thousands of people. Let's see how it turns out.
Randy Heckman is former trial judge and Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate for the state of Michigan. His new book is called The Truth That Sets America Free. It's a quick read, 170 pages. Randy, a fascinating conversation. I really appreciate your time.
Tony, always enjoy it.